Welcome to the Pirates Overwired podcast. I'm your host, Justin Osterwick. In this series we like to call the Coaching Carousel, we will sit down with the Seton Hall coaches and talk to them about previous playing careers, coaching philosophies, and so much more. They offer so much advice to current and future Seton Hall athletes. We're so excited to share it with you all today. Without further ado, Jonathan, who are we talking to today?
In this edition of the Coaching Carousel, we have Coach Angie Churchill. She is your softball head coach here at Seton Hall University. Churchill comes from the head coaching job at Hartford, and including her 4 years coaching there, she has 11 years of head coaching experience. In just her second year at the helm here at Seton Hall, Churchill and her team have accomplished an incredible feat for the softball program, which has not been done in nearly two decades, winning the Big East Championship last season for the first time since 2005. Coach Churchill took the time to sit down with us and talk about her playing career and background before coaching, the Big East Champion squad, her coaching philosophy, and advice she would give to prospective recruits as well as current Pirates. It was awesome to sit down with the reigning Big East softball champions head coach and get all of her insight, and we are excited to share with all of our listeners. So without further ado, Coach Churchill.
So welcome Coach Churchill up to the booth as we take part in our second day of the Coaching Carousel. So first things first, two questions here. How are you? And it's a very nice ring you got on today.
I'm good. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's nice to wear it around after our ring ceremony. It feels good.
Yeah, that must have been an awesome experience on Saturday night, last Saturday against Rutgers. You guys got the whole little
suite up there.
You got recognized on the court. What was that experience like for you guys?
It was like so great. It was, you know, an experience that you don't always get, right? So, and it was, I was so thankful for Seton Hall for putting it together and letting us do it on the Rutgers game. And everyone came back for it. Like, even all of our kids that graduated, there must have been like 85 plus family and friends there.
That's awesome.
In our suite. And just to like celebrate again and get everybody back together and being on the court together, it was an awesome experience for sure.
Yeah, it looked like a lot of fun because we, the rest of the student athletes got recognized in the second half.
Yep.
So you got to see everybody in the first half softball go down like, yeah, that's the team that won the championship. Woo! And then, especially at the Rutgers game, that's probably our biggest rivals in state. So it was, that's a lot of fun to see.
Yeah, and the video too of the championship game kind of going through the
half
video.
Yeah.
It was so cool being played in the Jumbotron.
Yeah.
That was really, really cool.
Yeah, and they were bumping the PA system and everything was rocking and everyone was really excited to be there. So fall semester's kind of wrapping up here. Mm-hmm. So what was training looking like for you guys this fall and how did you think it went?
Yeah, I think it went good. I mean, I think this fall is going to be much different than any fall we've had so far, obviously, because honestly, the target's on our back. We talked about that all fall. Like, no one's going to overlook us this year. Everybody's going to be, like, circling us on the calendar, you know. And we open up with Villanova for conference this year.
Oh,
so, like, rematch of the championship game. Like, we've talked all fall. I pushed them really hard because everyone is going to be coming for us, you know. And it's going to be a different feeling this year of, like, you know, the intense rivalries that we now have. Like, you know, we have those teams that there's going to be, like, that chippiness with. And I love that, you know. And that's really what sports are about. So, you know, we pushed them pretty hard this fall, and I think, you know, they worked really hard, and I think they know we're ready for what's coming this spring. You know, we had a little injury bug for a little bit this fall, but, you know, we worked through it as a team, and, you know, I think we just came together really good, which is so important for the fall because, you know, we're going to be moving inside in our cold weather states, right? Practicing inside, and depending on the weather, the fall is so important because that might be the only sign we get outside before we actually play games that count. So, you know, you got to get that team chemistry. You got to get that defense together and that communication and that, you know, just team vibe that who you're going to be this year. And I think we figured that out this fall. So
that's amazing. That's the one thing where you guys' sports is so much different from mine, because we go from August to February. We're in that pool. It's just that long stretch, but you guys have two different seasons to deal with, which is incredible. So that's some good news. So are there any things, you kind of mentioned the rivalry games coming up, but anything else that you're looking forward to this upcoming spring?
Yeah, I mean, we scheduled pretty hard this year. So, you know, we open up at FAU, then we're going to Arizona State, and then we go to FIU, and we're playing a bunch of Power 5 schools. You know, we open up with Michigan, which is my alma mater, so that'll be a fun game to open up with. But again, like Power 5, that will set us up for what is going to be a grueling Big East, you know, schedule. So, you know, I think we're ready for it. I think our team's really excited about our schedule. So, you know, we're looking forward to it. And I think we're going to learn a lot during those games and during all those preseason tournaments. So, yeah. You know, hopefully we get good weather.
Absolutely. We'll be a little better than up here, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know about you guys. I think we open up. Like, there's a game February here. I'm like, what are we doing?
Wait, here in Jersey?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm like, what are we doing here?
Well, there's always that, like, random, like, 65 day in February, yeah. And then drops back down to, like, 35. So it's, like, yeah. it's crazy in
so,
February.
So Mike, or who's our sports director, he's behind the glass. Mike, don't schedule me for that February game. Like, no thanks. It might be a little too cold to go out there. So that's super exciting. I can't wait to cover you guys' game. It's one of my favorite times of the year because I'm done swimming and stuff like that, but I get to go do play-by-play color for you guys, and that's I love being out there watching you guys. So what was it like? You mentioned you're playing Michigan in one of those preseason tournaments. What was it like for you playing at Michigan for 4 years?
It was the best 4 years ever for me, honestly, and that's like what I try to like build anywhere I've been, like that true college experience, like, you know, I bleed blue. Like, I really bleed blue. So this is why Seton Hall works really well for me, because it's a perfect blue for me. But, you know, I'm like a Michigan woman, you know, and that's the culture I'm trying to create here. Like, I want everyone to go through Seton Hall softball, their 4 years here, win, you know, hopefully we win a couple more championships, you know, excel in the classroom, which we've done. Mm-hmm. And then look back on it and say that was the best 4 years of my life. And, you know, and it's important for me for our team to go support other programs. Like when the women's basketball team the year before was making that NIT run, like we were making videos, sending it to, like our team was into their run, you know, and for everyone to look back and be a Pirate for life and like come back to basketball games, come back to alumni events because they loved being here. Right. And that's, you know, that was my experience, and that's what I like. That's what college should be for everyone, you know, like a great college experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what, you know, me and my staff try to create here at Seton Hall.
Yeah, you just talked about how it's like kind of better than softball. It's about going to other sports and supporting them. It's about being a good student. It's about wanting to come back here and really enjoy the time you had with and developing the relationships that you have with your teammates and other people in the student athlete community. This kind of transitioning over to more within your sport.
Mm-hmm.
What were the values that you had in Michigan that you are now bringing over to coach here and then still in the Seton Hall program?
Yeah, just like that toughness, you know, like we play a lot of games, as you know, in a short amount of time, you know, and you have to be able to like take the losses, learn from it and move on, you know, and just grind through the tough part of that season because there's going to be ups and downs, you know, you don't want to have like a true roller coaster all season, like totally up and down all season. But that's like really what I learned at Michigan is how to like just be a tough player, a tough person, like get through the hard times, work together as a team. And that's like really what I like try to tell my team, you know. And we talk even a lot about like, listen, these experiences will set you up for life. You're going to go for your dream job and be in a room with five other people trying to get that job. Yeah. And you're going to be ready for that because you've experienced the hard times and you've experienced, you know, working hard to win a spot or working hard, you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's really like what I'm trying to teach you. Like, I want them to go, you know, run programs and start their own businesses and be like strong women leaders. And that's what I learned at Michigan. And that's, you know, that's really what I try to emulate anywhere I go.
That's an awesome message. Like, it's always bigger than softball. Like, the values you have here, sure, they always apply to softball, but they want to extend past that and go beyond. And talking about toughness, like, man, that Rider game, that's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah.
That Rider game. I forget that was that was the first game doubleheader, right? It was the first game of the doubleheader when being down.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you worked the game at all.
I did not, no. I think that might have been the time when we were away from Big East.
Yeah, but
maybe,
man.
It was that early in February.
Yeah.
Late in March. That we were kind of all over the place. Yeah. But sorry, continue.
No, it's just like to talk about toughness in terms of softball.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the definition of it right there, being down that much then coming back, not giving up. And
yeah, I've never seen anything like that. I tell you what, I knew who our team was after that game.
100%.
Because, like, again, we were losing 10-0, you know, all the emotions of the game. And then we, you know, before the 8-run rule in the fifth, we score a couple, and I was like, okay, great. And then we score a few more. But, like, the body language on our team in the dugout, like, they never gave up. And they could have easily just thrown in the towel. It's easy to do that, especially in games like that.
Yeah.
And they kept fighting and battling and scrapping and pushing runs. And then we come back and win that game. It was amazing. Like, but that's who our team is. All last year, that was who our team was. But, like, those games, you know, really like defined us all year and that set us up to win in the Big East tournament. So
yeah, and you kind of saw that in the Big East tournament, being down a couple runs, they never give up mentality. Yeah. Obviously, as you just said, starts at the beginning, and that was huge to see that throughout your success last year. So how are you impacted by your coach at Michigan, Carol Hutchins? Mm-hmm. What was some of the things that she taught you while playing there that you've now instilled here? You kind of mentioned it before, but were there any messages that she gave you before taking on this job?
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of, like, she's been a mentor to me ever mm-hmm. since I decided to get into coaching, and she's been someone I've leaned on heavily, and Bonnie, honestly, like, they've mm-hmm. been two people who have always mentored me, and, you know, we've always, like, the mentality we have is, like, the team, you know, like, nothing's bigger than the team, and that's why culture, like, I always tell everybody, every recruit that comes in, all my kids know, like, I'm a culture coach, you know, because, like, it's, you know, when you recruit kids that have, like, a little bit of a funky throw or a little bit of a swing, but it works for them, I don't recruit that and then try to change yeah. it, right? Like, mm-hmm. I recruit the kids that are going to fit here, that work with me, that, you know, have that, like, culture that in leadership that I look for, because listen, like, I can teach X's and O's and that kind of stuff, but what I can't teach is that, like, winning mindset. Like, I want you to want to be in the moment. Like, right. that's hard for me to teach. If you don't already have that, like, mindset, then me dragging it out of you is going to mm-hmm. take forever, you know? So, like, those kids that are like, coach, put me in. I want to be up. Like, you're not going to succeed every time you're in that moment, but the more you want to be in the moment, the yeah. more you will succeed. And that mindset is really hard to coach because, you know, if we want to work on your backhand or a curve, but you're struggling hitting the curveball, yeah. there's a million drills for that, right?
Right.
But to teach that mindset and that culture piece is, like, you've got to have that in you already.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the biggest thing that, like, Hutch has, like, really instilled in me is, like, it's culture. Culture wins.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, everyone's some type of athletic, right?
Right.
And mm-hmm. depending on, like, what you look for in, like, a swing or a pitcher or whatever it is, the culture wins, like how people treat people on the field, how they, that's mm-hmm. all the stuff when I'm out recruiting, I look for, because that's what you're going to bring here, you
right,
know,
sure.
like, and those little things, again, I can't coach that. And that's, you know, who I've been ever since I've been coaching.
And so this is a question that we're going to go about and ask, like, all the coaches. And we're talking with Tony Bazell yesterday,
yeah.
talking about, like, the recruiting process of players.
Yep.
So you were just talking about there, like, the importance of culture and importance of a player needs to have it in them first. Like, can you lead a horse to water, we can't make him drink,
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
How do you go about looking? I know it's kind of maybe a tougher question, but how do you go about looking for that, like, at a tournament? I know it's a big tournament in Colorado, tons
yep.
of players, ton of coaches, all that stuff. How do you go about looking for that and, like, picking out the ones that have that we're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It takes
yeah.
a lot of work, because it's not like you're going to walk up to one game and be like, oh, there's my kid that's going to win me a championship. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it takes time, like, getting to know them and, like, honestly, like, watching them play. Again, like, I watch how they, you know, deal with failure. Like, are they throwing their helmet? Are they – how do they talk mm-hmm. to their parents after the game? Like, you know, are they carrying their own bag? Like, all of those little things I watch for
yeah.
and I take into my – you know, take my notes and write it down and see how it works. And, you know, give me the kid that their jersey's the dirtiest after every game. You know, like, they're going hard, like – don't be afraid to, like, lay out for a ball or, you know, get dirt, like, sliding, like, whatever. You know what I mean? Because that, again, like, you can't teach that stuff.
Yeah. yeah.
And so it takes time, you know, and that's why the recruiting process is long and it's hard, because you got to get to know them. You got to get to know their families. Like, we recruit their family just as much as the kid,
mm-hmm.
too. So just takes time. And, like, obviously, like, identifying the talent is honestly the easy part. It's then
sure.
figuring out that those other it factors that are the hard part.
So it's like kind of like, if the player is good, like, you know that.
Yeah.
If they have a talent that, like, they commit to the sport, easy.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah,
course.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, it's hard too. But then, like, it's like the intangibles afterwards, what you're looking for, and that's more like the even tougher part.
Yes.
Like, all right, yeah, look for that family, interact with teammates, all that stuff. So,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
yeah. No, that is amazing. And I know our families here at Seton Hall with, like, the parents that come in, like, are fantastic. I know through the swim team, they do a great job. I know baseball does a great job. I know softball
yep.
does a great, all of them do a great job. That's one of the key parts that makes that family atmosphere so much better, having the athletes' families be such involved. So one more question about just kind of the softball experience here. So we've talked about your great success in 2023. So how do you carry that over now into the 2024 season?
Yeah, that's going to be the tough part, because, again, the other thing we talked about is expectation. You know, the expectation is on us this year. And, You know, but our kids believe now. Like, once you kind of get over that hump of, like, learning how to win and stringing those games together. Like, my biggest fear in the Big East tournament was not, can we win? It's no one had played in the Big East tournament before that.
Interesting.
In postseason is much different than, like, regular season, obviously. But, like, the media obligations you have and the, you know, it's very regimented. The NCAA is there. The Big East there. There's signs everywhere. There's a lot of, like, glitz and glam, and if you're not ready for, like, the bright lights, really.
Yeah.
I was worried about that because not one person on our team, like, played in that environment before.
Yeah.
But, again, they just took it head on, you know, and that's – I think we're ready for that this year, and they're ready for the expectation. We talked about it all fall. We talked about the target on our back all fall, and they know what it feels like to win. That's the hardest part of, like, kind of turning over a program that doesn't know how to win is learning how to win. Like, I know that sounds silly, but it is. Because just like hitting and winning is contagious, so is losing and not. And like I always tell our team, like, listen, we might drop a game the first game in the series, but then we got to respond and win the next two games, you know. But if you're like feeling bad for yourself and you're too hard on yourself, or you know, you just have all these like negative self talks, like that's when you go on like a 10-game losing streak, you know. And it's hard to get out of that.
Yeah.
So I think now that our kids like know how to do that and what it feels like, they'll be ready for that, and they won't like let one loss be bigger than it is, you know. So I'm excited about it. I'm really excited to see what our team does this year, and I know they're ready. They talk about it all the time, so
I'm excited to see it too. So like scheduling that harder preseason, it's almost like a carryover from last Big East, that mentality of okay, like championship glitz glamour, to then facing those bigger Power Five teams. That's I'd say probably a really big advantage starting off the season like that. Like, is that the strategy behind scheduling those Power Fives?
Yeah, early? For sure. And I think, like, listen, our goal is to obviously always compete for a Big East championship. And I think the Big East in softball, and in obviously a number of other sports, is really good. Like, it is very competitive, like, top to bottom, you know. And that's going to set you up to, like, be competitive at regionals. Like, we had a game at regionals. We should have won the Texas State game, you know, and we let that slip through our fingers. But our kids taste that, you know, and they know we should have won that game, and we kind of beat ourselves in that game. So now they're like, yes, let's go play Michigan. Let's go play Arizona State, because that's going to set us up for regionals too. Like, you know, I want to be regionally competitive. I want to go to regionals and compete with the top dogs and the Texases and the Oklahomas. Like, and I think our kids are at the point where they're not afraid of who we're playing. We're like, my first year, everyone's like, oh, we're playing, you know what I mean? And
it's
just, like, we're kind of already beat, you know?
Yeah,
right.
And now they're like, why not us? Like, that was us all last year. Why not us? And then we did it. So,
love that.
Yeah, I'm that's why I scheduled harder, because, you know, I want us to be ready for it, for sure.
And I think you nailed right on the head. Like, when you have a team, and, like, I've been there before myself, I think maybe you have been there as well, like, in swimming, like, you go to a bigger school, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, hold on. But at the end of the day, you're just playing softball. You're just swimming and playing baseball. Yeah. And but you have to get over that hump, as you just said, and do it and say, oh, we can hang with these guys, we can beat these guys.
Yeah.
And then once you see that, then the confidence is like just through the roof.
Right.
And then you say, like, oh, we got this, we can do this. So scheduling those games, everyone's now pumped instead of a little more scared and whatnot. That sets a really good tone.
Right. That was us at midseason at West Virginia. Like, we don't really play the big or swim against Big 12 or any of those teams, but when we compete with them and you're like, oh wait, we're competing with these guys. Like, we can make finals, we can go time for these guys. So that was that's a lot of cool stuff. That's some of the most, like, we don't do as much non-conference as you guys do, because we don't really travel as far,
right?
But like, when we do, the few times between, it's a lot of fun. So let's go into your a little bit more into your program here. So what does a typical week look like here for the Seton Hall softball team?
Yeah, so you know, I'm big on balance. So like, I know, again, like, our kid, you guys know too, like, you guys are athletes. Mm-hmm. There's a lot asked of you guys, and like the schedules, the academic stuff, the all the other things, the training room stuff. So I'm a big believer in balance. So like, we work hard Monday through Friday. You know, we're allowed 8 games in the fall, so we'll play 4 doubleheader dates. If we're not playing on the weekend in the fall, I give them the weekends off, because I really want them to be like, get that true, like, mind body, you know, mental reset. Like, that for me is really important than like, okay, we're going to practice on the weekends. Like, and then we get the random Tuesday, Wednesday off where they're still going to class and they never get that true break. So for me, like, balance is huge. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll work hard Monday through Friday, give them the weekends off. They come back, reset, ready to go on Monday, and we work hard. And we do that all
Right.
Yeah.
Until December, you know, and obviously we lift 3 days a week, and condition in there. But for me, like, again, it's the experience. I don't want them to, like, hate softball by the end of it. You know what I mean? I want them to look back and love the game and always love the game and love being at Seton Hall. So for me, we work hard Monday through Friday, give them the weekends off. Once we get into individuals, you know, it's way less. So, you know, they get a break there. We work hard until December and then finals hit and we just let them go. And so they can, you know, focus on finals and finish the semester strong. And then what I like to call when we come back from winter break, a controlled chaos.
So. That is a very accurate term because you have such a short amount of time before the season. And you guys even a week shorter than I realized than us. Like, it's like 4 weeks, maybe not even. Before the season starts, and we're inside, and, like, you haven't seen live pitching as much.
Yeah.
And like, it's
crazy.
A big thing for the Northeast school.
And as you know, like, when you're hitting inside, you get tunnel vision, and you're, like, depth perception. Like, I always, like, tell
the
my
lights and everything.
I always tell my outfield, like, don't worry about it when we get out there, because they're, like, you know, like, it's so when you, like, barely get any, like, fly balls, or you get some fly balls in the gym, like, it's way different. And, you know, you might read some balls wrong. It takes, like, a little bit. You know, we were lucky with weather last year. We got outside a handful of times before we got to play, but who knows if that's going to happen this year.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You just, that's a total flip of the coin every year of what Mother Nature's going
to
do. So.
Have a foot of snow on the softball and baseball field. Exactly. Like, all right, we're not going outside today. So,
so, you know, once spring semester hits, like, you know, if Saturday looks like it's going to be warm enough for us to go outside, we're going to go outside on Saturday.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a controlled chaos. I do still try to give them, like, 2 days off during the week, but it might be, like, a one weekend, one day during the week. Just it really just depends on the schedule, you know, and then the weather. So, again, it's just a controlled chaos, but I think every softball, baseball player knows just ready to deal with that at that point.
Yeah, no, but I think you put it, like, well, too. Like, there is, like, a balance. Like, when you're in the season, you're grinding, like, it's, like, I don't even know, not even, like, the middle of the season, but there's just so much with the travel, you know, the catch up on work, probably not sleeping as much sometimes. Like, to have, like, a day where you can, like, really, like, reset, you come back better. Instead of, like, sometimes pushing through it, and then you're kind of, then you're really dragging and whatnot. So that's awesome.
Well, and honestly, like, last year we really focused on sleep. The Big East had a sleep study at the student athlete, like, thing at UConn last year, 2 years ago, in the summer, and I went to it, and they did a sleep study on it, and I thought it was just going to be like, oh, get 8 hours of sleep, but they had a professor there who is a professor at a college in Minnesota, and she did this whole, they had like 10 years of data on it, and how it, like, affects student-athletes specifically, and how you, like, can't make, if you don't get enough sleep, right, your brain can't get to the, like, functions that it needs to with, like, quick decision making. And it, like, the whole study just blew my mind. And she talked about how, like, Stanford men's basketball, like, really bought into this, and they struggled through the season, and then, like, they track their kids' sleep. If they didn't get 8 hours of sleep, they didn't do shoot around that next morning, or they didn't do, and they did it, and then they went on a 30 game win streak. And I was like, there's something to this.
Like, so they, it was basically like sleep's above all else.
Correct.
And it's, I mean, everyone always says, like, hey, get your sleep, but there's no, like, it's just, like, as you said, it's 8 hours.
Yeah.
But now we have all the data behind, like, okay, like, all right, now it's time to actually put it to test.
Like, you and I, and, like, you know, swing, like, we're a quick reaction. The pitch comes in, and you got to make a decision like that, right?
Right.
And I'm sitting here, like, if my kids aren't fresh enough to make that decision,
we're
half beat already.
Yeah.
You know? So we tracked their sleep all last year. We started
That's
in
awesome.
The fall, and we talked about it. I kind of went through some of the stuff I learned at that sleep study at the convention. We did it. Weird that we had such a good sleep.
There it is. All right, for all the teams.
Everybody, sleep.
For all the teams out there, sleep. Get it. Get it.
Key. So what are some of the skills that you're looking for in players when you're recruiting them? Obviously, it's going to be different for every position group, but what are some key skills that you are looking for?
Yeah, I'm not one of those coaches that's like home run or bust, right? I look for kids that just get really good barrel contact, don't strike out a lot, swing at the right pitches, you know, again, that kind of decision-making skill. So, again, like, it's easy to kind of tell, like, oh, if someone is barreling up a ball, or, oh, if pitchers are throwing hard. Even with that, for me, I don't overly care about how hard you're throwing. I care if your ball's moving. Mm-hmm. You know, I care if you're getting a lot of swings and misses. You know, again, for me, like, I was a shortstop, right? I look for a kid that talks the whole time, that is, you know, directing traffic pretty much, that is the voice of the infield, that's, like, laying out, that's, you know, her first move is good. Like, all of those things is what I look for, because, again, those are the hard things to teach. And, again, for me, they have a lot of that it factor. Like, I tell our kids, there's two, like, non-negotiables for me in our program, and it's communication and effort, because those take zero skill to do.
Yeah.
Right? And, again, you could be the quietest kid off the field, but as soon as you get in between those lines, you've got to have a voice.
Yeah.
You know, and that communication is so big to me, because nothing will drive me more crazy when, like, two outfielders are going for the ball, no one talks, and then drops right in front of them. You know what I mean? Like, but simple communication, like, takes that away. I'd rather them be both calling it and running over each other, and we know who has priority, than not saying anything, you know? Because, again, that's, like, gotta have that, like, toughness, that grit factor, that, like, I want to win, you know, mindset.
Yeah.
And, like, all of those things I look for out recruiting. Like, the kids with the voice, the catchers that are, like, calling time out and going to talk to their pitcher, like, because they're not afraid to do it, you know? Because, again, if I'm trying to pull it out of you, it takes a very long time to do that. So
you're more of a coach that likes to go to those games and do recruiting? Because I know, like, we've talked to student athletes about, like, the different styles of recruiting now with social media and stuff like that. But are you a coach that likes to go to games and see it firsthand, or do you like getting those clips as well?
I mean, I like getting the clips, but that'll get me to the game. You know what I mean?
Oh, fair. That makes sense.
So, like, I'll look, X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it nowadays. Like, is a big tool. Like, everyone's putting their clips on X and all that stuff. So, like, I'll look at that stuff, and that'll get me to a game.
Right.
Because I'll be like, oh, wow, I like that swing, or, oh, whatever. You know what I mean? And then I'll go watch, because, again, all the other it factors that I look for are hard to tell from a video.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
So
That is for sure. Is there any advice that you'd give to players that are looking to get to that D1 level? Is there anything that they should focus on?
I mean, you got to keep trying. There's no, like, magical, like, hey, if you write this in an email, I'll come. Or, you know, people ask me all that time, like, how do we get coaches to our games? Like, you've got to put the work in of, like, what schools you want to go to, and have your list, and keep emailing them and keep sending your clips and tagging them, you know, on social media, and put the work in, because sometimes it takes time, you know. You like, people don't realize how many emails we get a day of, like, you know what I mean? And, like, if it's a picture, I forward it to Laura. Like, if it's, you know what I mean? And we then we, like, collaborate and figure out who we like, and then go see them. And then a lot of times it'll happen with, hey, I liked you, I went to go see you, but I saw Susie because she looks really, you know what I mean? Like, it that happens. Or, like, hey, I went to go see your team, and this team I haven't really seen much is playing you, and I like a kid on that team. So it just, like, how it happened, there's no, like, magical way of, like, hey, if you do this, this will happen. You just got to keep putting the work in, keep writing the emails, keep reaching out to the coaches and the schools that you want to go to.
It just seems like consistency.
Yeah.
Like, you put in the work, you do the time, you're doing the thing that you're supposed to be doing, you do, like, repetition over and over, sending out more emails. You get reach out to more coaches. Like, you just do the I don't want to say the meat and potato, but you do the solid things over and over. And that's what works. Not like any one thing is going to work in particular, as you said, like, not writing out a perfect email and whatnot.
Yeah.
Just doing it over and over, and really being, obviously, the main things you can do the best you can.
Yeah, and I'll say, too, like, and I tell kids this all the time, like, put the work in. Like, if you're going to email me, put my name on it. Don't say, dear coach.
Yeah.
Put my name on it. Put something. You don't have to write a 4-paragraph essay, but, like, in put something about Seton Hall softball. Like, so I know you cared enough to do the research. Like, you want me to take time out of my day to go watch you play, but you're just going to pretty much copy and paste and put, dear coach, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, everyone knows the generic emails. Like, put the time and effort. That'll be the easiest way of a coach to just be like, oh, in the 2025 folder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there have been people that have written me and be like, you know, Coach Churchill, oh, I see, you know, you guys beat Villanova last weekend, but, like, did some research about knowing anything about our program. I'm like, oh, wow, okay, like, let me look at this kid. You know, it stands out, because I get so many emails that are just like, dear coach, here's my schedule, come watch me play.
Yeah, It's like, you have to like think from the coach's perspective in some ways as a player getting recruited. It's like, okay, like what's going to make me, as you just said, stand out?
Right.
And we had John Morris, a baseball alumni, on. And he said that when he gets like applications for like his MLB job in Cincinnati Reds, it's like there's three piles. A third of them, like they didn't spell my name right. They didn't spell
correct.
Right. Out
gone.
The window.
Yep.
So a third of them, like, yeah, maybe so-so. And a third of them, like, I like these guys. So like he takes those third and breaks down the same thing again. And you keep breaking it down. I bet it's something similar there. Like, just so many emails that you get. A third of them, like, don't have your name right. A third of them, like, they're right.
Wrong school.
I bet probably so many mass email probably happens. And a third of them, like, okay, these girls actually took the time to do a little bit of research, to know about our program. They actually care and really want to be here. So I look at these ones. That's really good advice.
It's like kind of that, as we mentioned, we're the grandpas. It's that first step to that job realm. Because, like, when you're now as a junior, senior looking for a job, like, if you didn't put that effort in coming to get recruited, like, that same effort's not going to be there when you're looking for a job. So it's a great learning experience just right off the bat to just start that practice. Last one before we get into our last two segments here. I got to sit down and talk to Cindy Babick, Hannah Alexander, and Caroline Hobbs about at the title women 50 years at women's sports for Title IX here at Seton Hall. And they talked to us about your philosophies in coaching, especially the stuff outside of softball. And you kind of already touched upon that. So how important is it to you to get your student athletes to experience things outside of softball?
It's big. I mean, I know you probably talked to Sid. Like, you know, she goes to all the like events for broadcasting and that they do it, the garden. And I, like, she'll come and be like, hey, coach, like, can I miss practice to go? Yes. Mm-hmm. The answer is yes every time for me. Like, if it is going to set you up to further your career, make connections to get a job, it's a yes for me every time. Because, again, yes, I want them to have the full experience. And part of that experience here is to set them up for their career after softball. Like, do I think if Sid misses a practice to go to the Big East men's and women's basketball media day that she's not going to be a good softball player? No, I don't. what I mean? Yeah. And listen, like, our kids know they got to put extra work in on their own, and they know that. You know what I mean? They do that anyway. But, you know, for me, it is important for these kids to go do other things, get involved. That's part of why I give them the weekends off too, so they can be a part of the Honor Society and do stuff with that. You know what I mean? And like get connected on campus with professors or people in their career track and be a part of that. So, and they know for me, like, just come and talk to me about it. We'll work it out and go do it, you know? And because it, again, that's really important for me. Like, when they look back here, that it's not just softball down their throat 24/7, that they got that great experience in being able to be a part of other things on campus. Because, again, when they come back, I want them to be a Pirate for life, not just only softball.
Yeah. No, it's awesome that you communicate that and make that known. Like, hey, this is like just, again, bigger than just all of this. I don't want you to just have just softball and it kind of consumes your life.
Yep.
Like, I want you to be set up for life after softball, and I want you to have the opportunity to do that. That's really cool that you communicate that with the players. It's probably very, very freeing feeling. Like, all right, it's not all softball, I don't have time to do anything else. It's a really good feeling for a player to have that knowledge. And I'm like, hey, my coach is supporting me doing things outside of softball.
That's awesome. And like a couple of our kids are in education, and they have, you know, a couple days where they miss for their teaching hours and stuff like that. And they know it's no problem for me because, hey, why don't you go on and be a great teacher and, you know, be teaching the next generation coming through, you know? So, yeah, I'm. That's part of that culture piece for me, and it's big. And I don't want my kids to be afraid to come talk to me about that, or be afraid to be like, "Hey, can I go do this?" And not everyone is like that. Mm-hmm. So I just want them to know that that's part of the process of the student athlete and going on and doing bigger and better things. Because then when they come back, they can talk to the next set of Pirates coming through. Yeah. You know, of like how it is here and, you know, what they're doing, and then other kids can get inspired by them. So
that's awesome.
Amazing. So we're going to go into our last two segments here. So the first one is advice to a Pirate. So what advice would you give to student athletes who had great success in their career and now are looking to carry that over into their next season? So let's say a freshman had a great freshman year. How could what advice would you give to carry that success over to their sophomore year?
Yeah, my biggest advice to that would be don't put pressure on yourself to like be that same person that the year before, you know, like every year is going to be different. Like I had that same conversation with Taylor Hill. right? She had a fantastic freshman year. She was rookie of the year in the Big East. Mm-hmm. She hit like 427.
Yeah.
At, you know, as a hitter, like she's not a slapper. Like she hit 427 mm-hmm. all year. Unbelievable. Like it's so hard to do that. And I sat down with her at the end of the year. I go, don't try to be that. Don't get like wrapped up in the numbers. Don't get wrapped up in trying to be the kid you were last year. You might hit 325 this year and that's good. You know what I mean? Like, so don't put the pressure on it. Like, let the year happen and, you know, but don't be afraid to shoot big, you know, like there's a big difference of like having goals and dreams and, you know, having a high expectation for yourself, but not putting the pressure on yourself to like, oh God, I went 0 for 4 today. You know, like my batting average, like you can't get obsessed with that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, cause that's the hardest thing is like you, all this pressure is on yourself. Like I couldn't wait for Abby to break the hitting record last year because everyone was talking about it. And then she went like 0 for 12.
Yeah.
So, you know, like just those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Like you can't, don't get wrapped up in the numbers. Be you every day. There's lots of ways to like help your team win without putting up big numbers, you know, in that leadership role. So
amazing, amazing, amazing advice for all those Pirates that are looking to carry over that success. So our last segment, Walk the Plank, shorter little questions. If you have an explanation, they'll obviously explain them to us because these are some dying questions we have. Again, I got to talk to Sydney, Hannah, and Caroline. They talked to me about the hunt. What is the hunt?
The hunt is something we do at the end of practice to, like, put a little pressure on our kids. It's something fun, but, you know, it puts people in the spotlight. So how it works is, you know, we'll have practice, like, whatever we're working on for that day. So we'll pick three or four things that we worked on that day, and then the team has to pick one person to do those things. So say it's, you know, we worked on plays at the plate for the outfield. They'll pick one outfielder to do it, and obviously the catcher will be there too, right? I'll hit them six balls. They got to get 5 out of 6. Everyone's on the line watching them.
And
if they don't get it, the team runs.
Oh, man.
So it puts pressure on them because this is why. I want them to, like, get used to that uncomfortable feeling of all eyes are on me. I'm up to bat, like in the bottom of the sixth, bases loaded, you're up. I want you to have that uncomfortable feeling of like that you might get of like, oh God, like it's me, you know? So, and to have a, like a little consequence, like there's a consequence if you're not ready for the moment, you know? And I think it gets them used to like wanting to be in that moment. And then you see kids stepping up like, hey, I want to do this. Let's go. You know? And then sometimes we do like more like, hey, the infield's up. We got to turn like 6 successful double plays and everyone else is on the line, you know, because it puts that pressure on you and it gets them used to like being in the moment. As best as I can put them in the moment, it gets them used to it. So, you know, I learned that a while ago. I actually stole it from Louisville, but I'll give them a little shout out at the convention. But and I fell in love with it. And our team has like really kind of like own that and like it's part of who we are and like gets us like in that competitive spirit too. So
there's only like one way to like really duplicate that more being in the game, and it's like to have eyes on you. Like you can go through practice a million reps, but there's no pressure on you. Like what does it really mean, the big moment of the game? And that's the best way to simulate it. Like we do 27 outs. I'm sure you guys like do 21 outs, kind of same deal. You have to do the coach hit the fungo to like one of the players, that's one out, and you do, you keep going to outfield, infield, and like get the all the way perfect to 21 or 27. Very similar thing. All eyes are on you. It's the best way to duplicate situation when you're in the Big East Championship. Like the game's on the line, like how you're going to perform. So it's awesome.
Yeah, and having that feeling of like let down too. Like if you if we didn't get it done, there's, oh, you let your team down.
I wasn't even thinking like that.
Yeah, because like you can do 27 outs and it's just like, oh, okay, we made an error starting back at one, you know, but there's no real like consequence per se. So that's why I do it that way, because I want them to get used to feeling like, oh, crap, I, like, really let my team down there to get over that feeling, too. You know what I mean?
Right.
Especially because, like, I feel like females more than male athletes, like, really hang on to that. Like, if they, like, feel like they let their team down, they'll hang on to that for days, you know? So that's part of the consequence. It's not even about the running part of it. It's just I want them to get used to, like, okay, all eyes on me. I got to show up for my team. What's that feeling? What am I thinking in my head? What's the thought process going through? And then, like, okay, if you're sitting here like, oh, God, don't mess it up, don't mess it up, we got to switch that because you're going to mess it up.
Right, right.
You know, we got to switch that thinking to, like, okay, it's my turn. Let's go.
Yes.
And just go for it. Yeah. Like, again, you're not going to succeed every time we play a game of failure.
Yeah.
All right? And you got to be good at failing to then get to the successful part.
Right. And I don't mean to keep going with this question. No, there's more of the rapid-fire question, but really break it down.
Break it down. It really
does, like, bring – I don't know what the swim equivalent would be to this or other sports and for basketball and whatnot, but I know for baseball and softball, it really does bring the team together. Because once you do go through it, you're all pumped.
Yes.
And even, like, it's a good thing to see for, like, your teammates. Like, how do you – bring a teammate up that really, like, just booted one, and, like, they're down the dumps, like, hey, like, you can't do that, can't happen, like, now be like, in a real game, boot one, next one, let's go.
Well, that's like, if people say we got to get 6 out of 6 right for whatever we're doing, if they mess up the first one, you can see them, I'm like, get the next 5 though, and you can see, like, okay,
forget,
like,
it,
I get it, but finish strong and get the next 5, and, like, again, that mentality, like, before, like, when I first started here, like, we didn't get that at all. And one, but it takes time. It takes time to get there, right? And once they got there, like, now when we're doing the hunt, if they mess it up, they're like, I'm going to get the next 4. And the team's, like, cheering them on. But and then we do our sprints, and it's no big deal. So, like, that mindset has totally changed.
That's
to
awesome.
Like, oh, feeling bad for myself. Oh, now I'm going to mess up the next 3. Because, you know, I tell our team all the time, we can manage 1 or 2 errors. It's the 3, 4, you're mad, and then you chuck it in a right field because you're so pissed at yourself that you made an error when you probably should have just, like, ate it, don't throw it at all, but you're so mad. Now you throw it over our first baseman's head. Now everybody's running. You know what I mean? Like, that's when the snowball effect happens, and one run, what should have been a 1-run inning turns into a 4-run inning. You know, and those are hard to come back from.
Yeah. So for our next one, favorite snack while on the road?
Favorite snack.
We won't go into this in depth, but we did the last one for a snack. Just kidding.
You know, I'm a fruit snacks girl. Like, in the dugouts, like, you know, nervous habits, I'm always grabbing for something.
Fruit snacks. So when you played at Michigan, what was the most difficult place you played in, like, stadium you played at?
Oh, for sure, Texas. So, I know, which is weird since we went to regionals there, but Kat Osterman was there when I was there, and their fans were ruthless. Like, they knew, like, our teams, like, our third baseman's mom played volleyball in college and knew where she played and her stats, and were, like, giving it to
us. It got personal.
Yeah, no, it got real personal. And they had, like, a huge strikeout board. We did win 1-0. Huge strikeout board. I mean, she struck out, like, 15 people, but we got 1 home run off of her, and we won 1-0. But
that's awesome.
Their fans were ruthless. We were, like, we were, like, ready to fight.
Funniest moment here while being at Seton Hall?
Oh, man, there's a lot. I mean, the travel we had last year was so ridiculous. Like, the funniest thing, I mean, it was funny at the time, but they, like, sent our bags on the way home. It was, like, 1 a.m. to, like, the wrong terminal.
Oh,
and then we had to, like, all hike it to the AirTran. Get on the AirTran.
Oh, no.
Go get our bags. And then, like, so the catcher's bags were in a different area. We laugh about it now. We're like, hey, remember that time at 1 a.m?
That's the worst in the moment, though. There's nowhere else.
The travel is that's, like, the thing too, like, you make your memories on the road, right?
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
All the funny things happen on the road, but the traveling is very chaotic.
I can only imagine. You guys are flying all over the place. Who has been your biggest mentor during your coaching career?
I mean, obviously Hutch, but, you know, I've been in the Northeast for a while now. I have a lot of good coaching friends here that, you know, and as much as we all, like, battle for the same recruits and, you know, battle on the field, like, there's good people in this area, especially in the softball world, that we're all close and we all call each other and, like, shoot ideas off each other. But we have, like, such a good network of friends here up in the Northeast. So
amazing. Last one for me. Describe your coaching style in one word.
Passionate.
Why passionate?
I tell everybody, like, listen, like, I'm a passionate coach. I love coaching. I'm a high energy person, so, you know, you're going to get my energy every day. And, you know, whether you know, we get a big strikeout in a big moment, I'll be the first one flying off the bucket, giving you a high five, you know what I mean? But, like, I always tell my kids, too, like, if you need me to help you, if you're not motivated today, I will help you. You
awesome.
Know what I mean?
Awesome.
Like, there's that standard that we have. Like, you know, again, that kind of communication effort day in and day out for me. If our kids don't have that, they know they're gonna hear from me about it for sure.
Amazing.
Love it. Is that all we got for
you?
Anything else you want to add before we wrap things up?
No, I really appreciate you guys having me on. I'm looking forward to you coming to some of our games and covering us this year.
Mike, put me on the schedule.
Not for the cold third game. You know,
for the warm games, please.
Oh, man. Well, Coach, thank you for taking the time at a busy time of the semester. Yeah. I know we're kind of wrapping things up here. But it was really great talking with you. Really great to know more about you playing, more about your coaching style, more about your team. And hopefully this can be some really good insight for high school softball players looking to come here or any Division I school, the insight that you provide. So thank you very much
for
your doing.
For having me.
Good luck this season, and we'll be following.
Great. Yes, good luck this season. Thank you from myself as well. I can't wait to cover you guys this upcoming spring. So that's going to wrap up another episode of our coaching carousel here. We'll be back with some more guests as we keep going. So thank you so much.